This article comes out of Lad Bible and was written by Rachel Yang. A quick-thinking Australian man has taken matters into his own hands after arriving home to discover a woman was attempting to steal his car. In what would be the weirdest ever citizen's arrest, Queensland man Brendan Mills trapped the alleged car thief by using his forklift to trap her inside the vehicle. Speaking to Sunrise, always chat with Koshy.
Hey, it's Koshy here. Welcome to Sunrise. Good job stopping the woman trying to steal your car.
We got a fair dinker bloke.
That reference is going to be above the heads of everyone listening in the US. Look up Koshy from Sunrise.
Anyway. I was about to say, anyway.
Anyway, the Waterford Westman said, I gave the person or persons plenty of chances to run. I didn't know who was in the car. There could have been five blokes in there, but I asked them many times to get out of the car. He said that the person in the red Volkswagen Polo wouldn't get out, so he had to think quickly. The automotive worker had his forklift parked beside the car, so he simply drove the machine forward and lifted the Volkswagen Polo off its wheels. The woman then became trapped inside, and then Mills called the police. The alleged thief was unable to open the doors due to the position of the forklift prongs, and police video captured at the scene showed an officer opening the door of the car after it was lowered by Mills, saying, out you get, to the woman inside. According to police, she went into the house while the family was out, showered and helped herself to clothes she found inside. And a 24-year-old woman was arrested at the property and charged with burglary and unlawful use of a motor vehicle, a Queensland police statement said. Oh, Anthony, what do you think of this this vigilante forklift dad? That's the headline.
I'm just... Jesus. There's a lot to unpack here. Like, at first I was like, oh, crazy, this person's stolen a car or whatever. And then it's like, no, they went inside the house, they had a shower, they stole the clothes. I'm like, all right. So there's so much shit going on in this story. Like, lifting up a forklift, it's like, oh, now I can't get out of the car, so we've got to wait till the cops get out of here. And just the casual, all right, out you get, of it all, just like, oh my God. I mean... It's like the most Australian story in a way, where it's just like the casualness of the robbery, the casualness of like the citizen's arrest, and the casualness of just, again, just, all right, get out.
Yeah, far out. Why wouldn't you just get out and run?
There's so many levels to it.
Yeah, dearie me. It kind of reminds me a little bit. I don't know if you remember, it was a few years ago on the Aussie news. Some guy. He saved someone or stopped some kind of crime from happening, and he did it in his undies, and he just had this great Aussie accent when he was talking about, oh yeah, I got out there in my undies and rah rah. It was fantastic, and we've got another one of those Aussie heroes. Oh, what was the one? Oh damn, the guy sitting in the car. Oh, and he was talking about his tools getting stolen. Fuck.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna go with the guy who told ScoMo to fuck off. That's my favorite Australian hero. Tell him to fuck off from Nelligan or something.
Oh, I'm down for that. Oh, 100%. Lockie, what do you think of forklift vigilante dad man?
I reckon there's going to be a countersuit for false imprisonment.
Oh,
I'm just looking
God.
Up the tort at the moment. So, yeah, it's civil. So, yeah, there'll be a countersuit if he tries to sue for any damages.
This will be our Amber Heard versus Johnny Depp trial.
Hello! Welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. Normally, but not this week. No, you would already know from hearing our fantastic bonus intro music that Sammy Deed from the Inconsolables made. Shout out to that wonderful, talented legend. We're having a bit of a break for the next couple of weeks, so we're bringing you these bonus episodes. And why are we taking a break there, Lockie? Oh, yeah, I'm here with Lockie.
Yo, it's Lockie.
What?
It's sobering Lockie.
I'm here to bring down the energy, take it to a place of really boring, clear-cut facts.
Well, give us all a clear-cut fact and tell everyone why we're having a break, at least this weekend.
Oh, at least this weekend. Because friend of the show, Aaron, is having a marriage.
Yeah.
What a weird way to say that. He's having a wedding. He's getting married. Having a marriage.
He's making a wedding.
There's a party right here in Agrabah, and only we're invited.
So, yeah, big shout out and big congrats to Aaron. And big congrats to Rochelle, too, for landing such a stud as what Aaron is. What a lucky lady, and what a lucky lad he is as well, too. But by the time this comes out, their wedding will already have been over. So hopefully we all had a great time. I'm sure we will. Oh, Diva, joining us for this special bonus episode, which I still haven't even told everyone what it's going to be about yet, is one of our most prolific guests now, and dare I say, backup host these days. I think, to be honest, I think he's going to be... He's the co-host this episode because Lockie just has no energy whatsoever. So co-host for the episode, Anthony, from What Do You Think About This? How's it going, Anthony?
Oh, I'm good. Glad to be back and glad to hear about Aaron's wedding. As a listener of the show, this is actually quite exciting news to hear. So congratulations to him and Rochelle. And yeah, hope you guys have a great time at the wedding.
Bloody oath. I'm so bloody excited for it. And I'm also so bloody excited for this episode. But before I tell everyone what it's about, can you tell everyone where they can find you and everything you do, Anthony?
I do a podcast with a friend of mine called Jaden. We discuss gaming, television, movies, really any topic we're interested in. We haven't had an episode for a few weeks because someone had to go on holiday for two weeks. So we haven't had time to record.
It was you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was me. It was me, Barry. But you can find us on Anchor, which holds all our services. So we're available on Spotify, Apple Music, the What Do You Think About This podcast. On Anchor should also have a link to our Twitter and our email if you need to contact us to come on the show or just give us your opinions on the show. Go right ahead.
Bloody oath. In the most recent episode, I dropped by to talk about Peacemaker and the Robert Pattinson Batman movie. And it was a bloody good time. Get amongst it. It's bloody top show. I'll be streaming this week. Yeah, I'll still keep streaming when we're on break. Fuck it. I won't be doing anything else. And I'll probably be continuing my stream of The Quarry that I'm going to be doing tomorrow night as of the day that we are recording this. Oh my God, my brain is breaking. But you can check me out at twitch.tv/news2reviews, 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, Australian Eastern Standard Time. I'm keen to get into more of The Quarry. And if you like the show, if you enjoy what we do here, please, if you can leave us a rating and a review, it really does help us get into the ears of more people. But enough of that. I want to get into this bonus episode. So this episode is going to be... Oh, well, actually, you came up with a title, Anthony. Take it away. What is this episode?
So this is about games that grind our gears.
Oh. Yeah, we're talking about those games that pissed us right off, and we were going to initially do like five each, but it's just fallen all over the place. So we got, I think, altogether 13 to talk about. Let's get fucking cracking, because I'm so stoked. So I think I've got 7 to talk about, so I'll probably kick us off, because just through the sheer volume of stuff I've got here. And I'm kicking it off with an absolute banger. You lads remember a title known as Anthem, perchance? Anthem was meant to be BioWare's big comeback after the disaster that was Mass Effect Andromeda. It came out about like 4 years afterwards. It had so much hype around it. I remember Aaron told us he was big time big time burnt around this one. It came out in 2019 and is currently sitting at 54 on Metacritic with a user score of 3.5. So it is definitely struggle street for that one. So Anthem was one of those ones where, you know, I saw the gameplay trailer back at E3 2018. I was like, okay, there's some promising looking stuff here. It looks pretty cool. But, you know, let's wait until we see some, like, proper actual gameplay, because it didn't really... It was sort of gameplay, but not really. It was super bizarre. And then finally, the beta came out about a month or two before it was supposed to release, so everyone finally got to get their hands on it. And I did as well too, because it was a free beta to download. And holy shit, was it an absolute fucking mess. It took so long to get into a match. You had to like load into, you had to pick your anthem, and then you could like load into the, or you load into the lobby, and then you go from the lobby and have to load into the match. The wait times and the load screens were like a couple of minutes long.
Ooh.
It was ridiculously long. And that was if your character would even load when the game started. So the first time I loaded it up, all that loaded was just my character's feet, and they could like move around a little bit, but then it just like bugged out entirely and the game just crashed, so I had to reload it. So I didn't get the greatest impression of Anthem straight off the bat. And then I actually managed to play a round after that. But the enemies were like, you'd kill them, and rather than like having a death animation, they would just sort of freeze mid-place. And they would just stay there for a little while until eventually they needed the CPU power back and would just get rid of it. It was just an absolute disaster of a beta, and everyone was still saying, oh, you know, when it comes out, even though it was not even that long after, it's going to be all right. It's all going to be okay. But
it's nope. Still good. It's still good.
Oh. Anthem came out. I didn't buy it on launch after seeing the disastrous beta that is. I'm like, whoa, that's a big time wait and see. And a lot of people still picked it up on launch. It sold quite well, probably almost purely because of the BioWare name alone. And yeah, lo and behold, it was still an absolute disaster. And I end up picking up a copy from my local EB Games for $5 pre-owned, I think. And then even later on down the track, you end up seeing it for like $2 every now and again. And this was only like a year after release, so not even like it like it was years and years after this came out. And I was like, oh, they're planning on doing updates for it, so I'll hang on to it until it comes out, and then I'll see how it is once they've done all these updates and all these fixes that they've promised. And you know, over time, just every single date that they put forward for like planned updates and patches and content just kept getting pushed back and pushed back. Before you know it, BioWare's announcing that they're going to be making a new Mass Effect game. They're making a new Dragon Age game, all this stuff. And they've still got a team working on Anthem. And eventually they just announced the big planned update that they titled Anthem Next just wasn't coming next, and that was it for Anthem. They were going to be shutting down the servers, and that was last year, I believe, finally. So it was a couple of years before it finally had its death knell, but I jumped back in before Anthem Next because, they had some update, and it was meant to be a bit better, and the game worked, essentially, but it was just kind of like Destiny with flying Iron Man suits. And which, you know, might sound amazing to some people, but it didn't feel as good to play as what Destiny does. The third person shooting kind of felt like how other BioWare third person shooting feels, which is not the greatest. They're really, their big strength is in their narrative and their writing, which was definitely not the strength of Anthem. Even after their fixes and stuff, there's a part towards the end of the game where literally they just give you a checklist. They just go, here you are, these are like 10 things you got to do, and then you can keep on video gaming.
Yay.
It's like, okay, all right. Like, it's like there's a door, it just won't activate till you do these things. No narrative reason why, it's just, you just got to do, and at that point I checked out. I was done. I think I probably got like 4 or 5 hours out of Anthem.
Wow.
Yeah, bit of a disaster. Anthony, did you have any experience with Anthem at all?
I never played the game. I never bought it. Never even had any friends who played it. So that kind of shows you how little it spread. I didn't even know anyone who played it. You were the only person I knew, I think.
Yeah, you kind of took one for a team.
Yeah, good on you. But I agree where you say it's just Destiny, because that was what I thought. And I didn't even like Destiny that much. Mm. So to see like low rent Destiny, it was like just an instant, well, I'm not going to buy this. But secondly, I'm definitely not even going to like switch over to it from Destiny, which again, I wasn't playing that much because it just didn't have nearly as much content. It didn't seem like the devs were focusing on it as much because even though, yes, it was their big game at the time, clearly they were, again, later focusing on their new Mass Effects and Dragon Ages and other games that they wanted to develop. So it was just a game that fell by the wayside, even for the company that was developing it. So no reason for me to pick it up. And also, yes, as you mentioned, the EB Games, the second you see a game going for like $5, like, and like a billion copies of them on the EB Games, like pre-owned, it's like, all right, don't pick that up. It's definitely shit. It's either shit or it's an old FIFA game. There's no in between.
There's a fantastic Jason Schreier article that talks about basically the disaster that was Anthem's development. Apparently, one of the core mechanics, which was the flying, they didn't decide was going to be in the game until 2 years before the release, which is just mind-boggling. It's like if when they were making Spider-Man, they didn't decide to do the web swinging until the final 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh no.
What are you doing? What's going on here? So
there was a game similar to that. I cannot remember the name of it. Where they were like, "Hey, we want to add this mechanic," and it's like, "We've already designed the levels around a different mechanic. You add that in, it's going to completely fuck it." And the studio was like, "No, but you have to add it in." And they're like, okay, I sure, fuck it, just put it out. Who cares?
Oh dear, Lockie, do you have any experience with Anthem at all?
I don't. Look, my only experience is the third party contact that I get from your experience of it. So I get the feeling that the game is bad. But to be honest, I mean, I'm looking at it. It doesn't look terrible. I'm looking at some gameplay on a YouTube. Is it worth playing in 2022? The game looks all right. It looks nice, actually, in some moments. But, yeah, I don't think I'd see myself enjoying this game all that much. I just don't think there's much to it. I think, like, they've got the big open world and they got moving around it, and then that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, Anthem, like, because when they did finally finish it, they did a thing where basically there was this cooldown with your flight, so you could only fly for like these short periods, and you could do things like duck into water and stuff like that to get your cooldown to go back. But it was just a nuisance, and it was like, what's the point of this if you're just going to... Anyway, so eventually later on they had an event where it was snowing, and basically it just made your jets cooldown in half the time, and the game got twice as good. It was way better because you could actually be in the air a majority of the time. So there was just so much core stuff that was just fucked with it. Like, if they fixed the entire loot system, you know, if it, like, tweaked a lot of that gameplay and just added a shit ton more content, it would, like, another 2-3 years development, maybe Anthem could have been something to create an anthem about. But at this stage, certainly fucking not, and never, apparently, because it is dead and gone, and now we're just waiting for the new next Dragon Age or Mass Effect to see how that one's going to disappoint us.
Had two flops. Well, I think three made good sales, but it wasn't well received.
Three sold good. It was the ending.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. People praised
the improvements to gameplay, and the story for the most part was good. Like, I loved a lot of the conclusions to the individual characters' stories, but yeah, that ending, oof. Oof. Do you want this color, that color, or that color? Yeah, yeah. Great. Thanks for all the choice.
And then Andromeda was just like, ugh. Ew. Yeah.
Oh, that's enough about Anthem. Anthony.
Anthony.
What's a game that grinds your gears? Anthemanini.
Anthony. All right, we're going to start off with, I think I'm going to have a list that goes like from bad to worst kind of thing. So that way we're not like, hey, he's just trash up front. So this is going to be a game that overall is good, and my annoyance from it came from me being an idiot, a very young video game boy, and just being bad at games.
So not being an island boy, like the opposite of an island boy.
No, exactly. So,
forever famous, those lads.
Very well received game, Bayonetta, the original. So, I played this game roughly when it first came out, probably a year or so after it came out. And I hadn't had a lot of experience in, like, the Devil May Cry style of games, where it's, like, difficult, in air quotes, like, combos and that. So I played the game, I got to the second or third mission, and I couldn't beat it. And it wasn't that difficult. Like, in hindsight, I played it on my Nintendo Switch. I'm like, how did I ever have difficulty with this? I beat it my first try when I picked it up again. Mm. But for whatever reason, couldn't beat the mission. I tried it, I want to say, probably 20, 30 times. And this was the first proper example of gamer rage from young Anthony. Because I threw my, at the time, fairly new PS3 controller at a wall. And that shit just broke. It just broke in, it not in two, but I was like, again, to quote me from a few minutes ago, it's still good, goes to plug it in, presses the home button, it's just not booting up for cold, shit don't work. So, for years, I didn't play Bayonetta, because I was like, this game's bullshit, people don't know what they're talking about, it's not a good game, it's too difficult. And then I eventually picked it up for the Switch, and I was like, oh, I'm an idiot. I just sucked at video games, because that was an amazing game, and I beat the level, whatever issue I was having, I have no idea. I think I just didn't know how controls worked, so I was mashing buttons, but not like the buttons I was supposed to mash in those kind of games. So I ended up doing the wrong combos or something, and it, like, everything just kept killing me before I could have time to win. So I was like, fuck this game.
It's like left stick to move, but you just keep using the directional pads. You're like, what's going on here? Yeah. What's wrong with this game?
Why don't they design it better? To quote mid-2000s video game reviewers, what were they thinking? But, like, that one is so, like, low bar of, like, this isn't actually a problem with the game. But it was the first example, it was one of the most potent examples of gamer rage, because it's just like, fuck this. This is bullshit.
I don't think I've ever actually thrown a controller.
Wild.
Like, I think maybe I've sort of, like, because I used to play games, like, sitting in bed all the time, which, like, gamers out there, don't do that. I know it sounds silly, but get a good ergonomic chair. If you spend a lot of time gaming, you will not regret it. It'll do wonders for your back, because, yeah, a lot of time gaming, my back was definitely...
My scoliosis is fine, good sir.
Why am I talking about that, though?
You haven't ever gamer raged.
Yeah, so, I've sort of maybe, like, just... sort of tossed it onto the bed lightly, you know what I mean? But never anything that would actually, like, damage it.
Tossed it onto the bed,
like,
lightly.
That.
You gently placed it onto the bed lovingly.
I'm like,
it's that, I don't know if you've ever seen that video. It's a video where it's like, when you're angry at a game but controllers are expensive, he's like, God damn it!
Yeah, absolutely. It's like that.
I can't throw a DualSense 5 around. That's like $150.
Oh, mate, you should have seen me when I was playing Nintendo Switch Sports with my niece and nephew. I'm like, you put that strap on every time you're playing tennis. So I'm not having these bloody... Joy-Cons break, like,
thought you were going in the other direction where you got really angry and would, like, rage at losing to your niece and nephew.
Because that's my whole point. I don't throw them.
But it is those old videos of people, like, playing Wii Bowling and throwing the Wiimote into the TV because they don't have the strap on. It's just
You just see a TV break and everyone in the room's just like, all right, I guess we're dealing with this now.
Oh god, especially if I was a kid, I'd regret it so hard. Have you ever had a time where you've tossed a controller, Lockie?
Look, I don't think I've ever tossed a controller, but I'll say a game that really got my emotions going would have been Dota. Like, Dota OG, Dota 2, it's just such a highly competitive game, and if you're really into it, yeah, especially if you're playing ranked and you've got people that are being fuckwits, like, oh my god.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of rage are we talking, Lockie? Are you getting filthy in the chat, or are you just the kind of person who's just like, I'm angry, I need to stop this now?
Oh, I internalize everything that comes at me. I'm like an emotion sponge, so I just feel it, and I feel awful, and that's where it stays, where it belongs.
Oh. You're a good Catholic raised lad, aren't you?
As opposed to me when I play fighting games, where it's just like, even though I know I suck, it's like, fuck you! Piece of shit, you did it.
Oh, dearie me. Well, for our next game that had some gears aground, I've got another big one. Maybe I'll save this one for later. Yeah, I think I'll save this one for later.
Gears of War and Grind My Gears is Family Guy, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Well, that's where I know it's a phrase from other things, but that's where I know it from. It's like, you know, really grind my gears, Lois.
Yeah. Yeah. This. So we'll make it games related. It's grinds my gears of war. But we're not going to talk about gears of war. I got nothing. To
it's
say
just John DiMaggio being like, you know what's annoying? It's like, ah. I can't remember the name of his character in that game. I just know he's voiced by John DiMaggio.
His name's Bender.
Yes.
Well, John DiMaggio definitely doesn't voice anyone in this game. Oh, and people who've been listening to News to Reviews for a long time, and I'm talking like way back when we first started back in 2019, way back, it's like 2.5 years ago. one of the very first games I ever covered on this show, Ghost Recon... Bland Point. Of course, I'm talking about Ghost Recon Breakpoint, but it was the game that deserved a nickname from me because it just sucked so fucking bad. So I have to admit, you know, full disclosure, I was kind of ready to hate this game because I picked up the previous one, Ghost Recon Wildlands, and it was fairly well received by critics, you know, getting like eights and stuff like that. But people and users really liked it as well too. It sold absolute gangbusters, and I played it and I was like, wow, you're driving for most of it. The driving's absolutely fucking awful. The shooting's very average. There was very little to that I really enjoyed about it that much, but it was one of those ones where it was so mindless and Ubisofty. Oh, it's a Ubisoft game, by the way. That it, you know, it just has all these checkpoints on a map, and I just mindlessly went through and checked them all off, basically.
Ghost Recon and, Average Lands.
Oh god, it pissed me off Wildlands so much. I'm talking about a different game that grinds my gears now, but hey, it's a good prerequisite. It annoyed me so much, right? Because you get to where the final boss area is, and already the narrative was just a shit show. Like, I'm talking peak Ubisoft, every character sucks, the writing's fucking awful, you hate everyone, you don't want anyone to win, it's all pointless. And it was like, why'd they even bother really at that point? Anyway, it gets to the end of that shit show, and basically the final mission, I didn't even realize I'd done it. I just drove through, got to this area, went and shot a guy and he died, and that was the end of the mission. So I don't know if maybe I wasn't supposed to use a vehicle just to get to the very end immediately, and maybe I was supposed to fight all those people along the way, but you have access to vehicles. Who would do that? Anyway, so yeah, finished the game. But I didn't, and I'd done every single other enemy and every single other mission in the game, but I still got the ending of, oh, complete everything else, and then you can get the good ending. So if I wanted to get the good ending, I would have just had to have replayed that mission. So even though I had everything there, everything ready to go, I couldn't get the good ending. Just garbage. Absolute trash. Anyway, sorry. Long story short, I didn't like Wildlands, and just Breakpoint, Blandpoint was even fucking worse. Now, it got a 6 out of 10 from IGN, which, especially at that time, that's scathing from IGN to give it a AAA publisher in particular.
Especially Ubisoft. That was back when Ubisoft was cool.
That's basically the kiss of death.
Oh, you think it would have been a 7 for sure, but no, they hated it that much. It has a 56 on Metacritic and a 3.0 user score. So yeah, the users definitely weren't as nice as what the critics were, and you'll see a bit of a pattern with that one as well as we keep talking about more games. I remember they got the Punisher, good old John Bernthal, to be the celebrity figurehead for this one. And basically he had an island with militants and drones and, I don't know, whatever. It was always online, so you couldn't play if you were offline, whereas the previous one you could play offline, and that was so they could shove it full of microtransactions and stuff. They changed the loot system, so it was all about getting that next bit of loot. Mm. Blah, 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 blah. Trash, trash fucking game. Lockie, did you ever play that one, or do you remember me talking about it on the show all the way back when?
Yeah, I remember you talking about it. Ghosts of Recon Blandpoint is all I can remember is the running joke there. And I mean, yeah, it sounded like it was just such a slog to get through. In fact, I think you were you didn't finish it, which is funny. You tried to stick it out for a while. Like you stuck at it for, I think, a good month.
Yeah, I played like 30 hours of that heap of shit. Mm. I hated it so much. Eventually, I found new reasons to hate Ghost Recon Blandpoint, because people who've been listening more recently this year will know that, well, I think actually they did at the end of last year, Ubisoft used Ghost Recon Blandpoint to add NFTs into their game. So they added like Ubisoft Quartz, so you could buy items in game that had like a unique code that was physically on them in the actual like game, like rendered on the item, and it would point to an NFT that you could then resell later on down the track.
Good old Ghost Recon scam point, am I right?
Hey, bloody oath.
Seth Green is probably going to talk about it and pick it up.
I've been hearing about that story, and that's the funniest fucking thing to me.
It's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad. I do feel bad for Seth Green. He seems like a good guy.
I feel bad that he lost something that was his.
Yeah.
But it is hilariously funny because it's like, here is the problem with NFTs. This is literally why it doesn't work. A man had to buy back his own property.
It wasn't so non-fungible for him.
That was
the problem. It's so disappointing when you hear about celebrities that you enjoy getting into NFTs. Like, apparently Snoop Dogg is tied with NFTs somehow.
That makes sense to me, though. Snoop Dogg will do anything. And I mean that in a nice way. He really will.
That's a good point. But yeah, but people who purchased any of these Ubisoft Ghost Recon NFTs, they're basically worthless at this point because Ubisoft has stopped supporting Ghost Recon Blandpoint now. They're not going to make any new content from the game. Apparently, if you looked up the sort of the NFTs, you can do that with it. They only sold like a couple of hundred or something like that. It was just an absolute abject failure. I remember the announcements video got just disliked into absolute oblivion. Ghost Recon Blandpoint, just a disgusting in every way. A terrible game, played terribly, terrible tactics to try and get your money. Oh, gross. Give it a go.
Give it a go. all in all, 7 out of 10. Not bad, we'll do again.
You can get an NFT out of it. Just do it.
Oh, fuck me dead. Anthony.
Yes, me again.
Can you say the grind your gears and your Peter Griffin voice again? You're so
really good.
At that.
All right. You know what really grinds my gears, guys? Let me actually find what I was going to talk about so I can actually say it. It'll be really funny to say in this voice, I think. Oh, yeah, no, I'm still talking about bad moments in good games. So it's like, ahem. You know what really grinds my gears? Persona 5.
There's a lot of grind in Persona, depending how you play it. So,
but that's not my problem. So I've played through Persona 5 and its improvement, Persona 5 Royal. And in both times, the worst part of the game, and people who've played this game will probably tell you, is the Okumura arc. It is the shittest part of this amazing game. Like, this game is like a 10 out of 10 on most lists, and I agree, it's one of my favorite games of all time. This arc is, like, objectively shit. It has a terrible villain, it has terrible gameplay mechanics from the actual thing, although Royal does improve something. So it's like shit in original, better shit in Royal. And it has one of the worst character arcs for one of the, like, main characters in the game that you have to deal with. So for context for people who haven't played Persona 5, a big thing is you're a team of these teenagers and a cat who can use demons to fight enemies. Don't worry, it makes sense in context.
Anime.
Yeah, anime. It's anime as fuck. So in this arc, good thing I brought up the cat, in this arc, it begins with the cat being angsty as shit and just being not an asshole, but just being, like, very difficult to deal with. Anytime anyone brings up, like, hey, what about this? He's like, shut up. You're wrong. Fuck you, might I add.
Man, have you met cats? That seems like a pretty accurate representation of cats.
It is, but for the rest of this game, he's usually been helpful. And so the first part of this arc that fucking just blows chunks, because a big focus of this game is time management. You have to manage what you do during the day, during the night, and if you decide to do things. For 5 days, you can't do shit because your cat is depressed. He goes away, and 5 days, you're just like, oh, I can't do anything. Oh no, where will I be without my dumb cat? So just for 5 days, you can't do shit. So there's 5 days you just have to not do anything with. Fucking up your progress, everything. Fuck it. But then you get into the actual meat of the arc, which is where you meet one of the best characters in the game, Haru, and she meets the cat, and her and the cat get along, they do whatever. Eventually, you meet back up.
It's a meaty experience.
It is. It's a meaty experience for all. You meet back up, you... I'm sorry if I'm loud, because this it's fucking bullshit, this whole thing.
I'm just laughing because of how many times you said meat. I'm immature.
Meat.
Go on.
So, at this point, like, after you've dealt with all the cat's bullshit, and he goes with Haru, they do their whole thing, eventually you actually get to the point of this arc, which is, hey, go to this guy's palace, beat him up, and make him, like, realize that he's kind of a cunt. Because that is the game. The game is making you realize, am I an asshole? It's like, yes. It's like, oh. And that's the game. That's the whole game. I like this game. It's one of my favorite games, but I will simplify the shit out of it for the purpose of this podcast. this point in the game has one of the, like, it has awful puzzle sections. This is the one where the palaces are super focused on puzzles, and almost all of them I had to look up the solution for. I didn't have to do that for the rest of the game. Pretty much the rest of the game, I was able to go, oh yeah, the answer's obvious. It's just I need to work a little and I'll get to it. There is one puzzle here that is genuinely, in my opinion, not solvable unless you look it up. Because it's so out there where it's like, no, you need to go completely the other way around. It's like, why would I ever do that? The game has not emphasized that at any point that I should be going out of my way and doing that. It's like, no, but that's the solution. It's like, bullshit, I'm leaving. Fuck off. The boss is bullshit as well, although sometimes that can be the case in an RPG and in Persona. The funny thing about this boss, in both versions of the game, I believe, it's actually easier if you play on the hardest difficulty to beat this boss, because the thing with difficulty in Persona 5 is it's just damage increases across the board. So by the time you get to the hardest difficulty, your opponent can one-shot you, but you can also just deal massive damage to your opponent. So as long as your opponent never hits you, it's actually a really easy win. Whereas on the hard difficulty, you're not dealing enough damage. So it's just a grind of like, I'm just punching this wall and he won't die. Where on the hardest, the merciless difficulty, it's like, all right, I'm beating the shit out of him. He's just taking so much damage and he can't hit me. Suck it, dickhead. And then you beat the arc. You beat the arc and the end of the arc's good. Except for one moment, which is still bullshit, but that's more from a character perspective than a gameplay thing, which is that in every arc, usually the focus character is the one who's like, hey, bad guy, fuck you, and in particular. And in this one, it's literally the dad of the girl who got introduced. So you think she would be the one to have the big final word. No, it's the dumb fucking cat again. The cat has to step in and be like, hey, screw you. It's like, why do you care? He's not... This guy is literally the dad of the girl who we've just met, who's forced her to go through all these awful situations in her life. But the cat is the one who needs to resolve his issues with this guy. It's like...
He's got a bone to pick.
Why? It's exactly. It's like, hold on. It's like, it literally, it's the Kanye of, all right, that's great, I'm gonna let you finish. But... And so... Again, an otherwise really good game, but this is just shit. It's such a shit part of this, like, otherwise amazing game. Because literally the next section is, like, the best section in the game. And it's just, anyway, that's probably the most angry I'm going to get.
It's funny because I kind of have an experience like that with Persona, where I enjoyed what I played of Persona. But due to the game not explaining a lot of stuff, I fucked up the run for myself and was basically unable to complete it. I think I've talked about this on the show a couple of times, so I'll keep it brief. So basically, you have in the game, you have the dungeon side of things, and you also have the life sim side of things where you can have conversations and you go to school and you do all that kind of stuff. I was really, really enjoying that side of the game, so I was just focusing on that. The days kept ticking on by. The game's telling me, oh, you want to go do that dungeon soon? And I'm thinking, I'll just wait. It says I've got 28 days left. I'll wait till the last day and then I'll go do the dungeon. Little did I know, dungeons take multiple days. So I totally fucked myself. I didn't have any saves that were, like, you know, old enough I could go back to because I was hours and hours into the game. And I had to restart the game. So at that point, I just sort of checked out.
I will say they did fix that in Persona 5 Royal where it just takes you back a week. So you can if let's say you fucked up and you forgot it, or in your case, you just didn't know, they fixed it where it's like, all right, then you only have to go back 7 days. Because then it's like, okay, I could just do the dungeon right away, get out of the way, then do the rest of my shit, for example.
Yeah, that's good. Because it was, just recent save, which, if your recent save or any of your saves weren't old enough, because I didn't save spam, you're screwed. Yep. Lockie, do you have any interest in Persona? I feel like Persona 5 would be a perfect Lockie game. Turn-based JRPG, great writing, great characterization.
It's interesting, and it's a game I always wanted to pick up, but for whatever reason, I just couldn't get into it. I played it on the PS4, and I knew what I was getting myself into. I could tell it was ramping up to be, a long, long-ass turn-based strategy, and I'm sure it was going to get good, but I knew it's going to be hours and hours of meandering and tutorial like hand holding. And I'm like, I just don't have the energy to do this. It's just not engaging enough at this stage. But like, I know I could tell it was going to be like people's Final Fantasy X, which is, you know, another enormous game that is very hand holdy to begin with. So like, it was just one of those things where I just knew the time that was going to go into it. And I just could not get into it, unfortunately.
And I think you're right there, Lockie. I'm pretty sure it's like one of those minimum 100 hour style JRPG.
Yeah, I've heard.
first game's about 100 to 120. Second Royal's about 130 to 160. So, like, yeah. Fucking... I think I've dedicated between the two of them about 300 hours. So, yeah.
Damn. Wow. In saying that, I've played about 250 or odd hours of From Software over the last couple of months. So, yeah. To finish off. Oh, what do I want to finish off with? I'll go. This one's still a banger. I'll keep sticking with the older titles. This one came out in 28. Oh shit,
28.
I didn't write it down for this one. I thought I did, but I'm going to be talking about Middle Earth: Shadow of Wardor. Now, I enjoyed Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor, the previous title, which came out in 2014. It was like one of the first PS4 games I picked up and was one of the first ones I really enjoyed. And I was like, oh, it still feels kind of PS3-ish. The textures and stuff aren't that good, but fuck, what a game. What a game with an interesting concept with the whole Nemesis system and all that stuff. And I was really excited when they announced the sequel to it, Shadow of War, which came out in 2017. I've now finally looked that up. and so was everyone else. It was an exciting time to be a gamer. We had, you know, Middle Earth, Shadow of War that year. We had Breath of the Wild that year. We had Horizon Zero Dawn that year. And we were yet to have these wonderful games like Shadow of War and another one called Star Wars Battlefront 2. Now, like Star Wars Battlefront 2, Middle-Earth Shadow of War had one very bad problem. Do either of you lads remember what the issue was in gaming back in 2017?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Microtransactions, right.
Loot boxes, that's right. Microtransactions, right. Anthony, but specifically, as Lockie said, loot boxes. It was just the absolute shit. The Call of Duty... that year, or the next Call of Duty to come out, the World War II one, had loot boxes dropping down on Normandy fucking beach.
Oh, it was
an insane time to be a gamer. Fortnite had loot llamas. Overwatch had loot boxes. Every fucking game that had any multiplayer element whatsoever had loot boxes. But Middle-Earth Shadow of War never... Well, the previous one never really had any sort of multiplayer stuff other than... I'm not sure if they had the castle sieges and stuff in the first one, but in the second one, there was a multiplayer element in that you can go and do online conquests of other players... what do you call it? Fortresses. Mm. And so basically, they'd try to funnel people into the online store so you can buy good orcs in order to win these online battles. Not to mention, when you got to the end of the game, basically they kind of do an ending and then go, oh, that's not the real ending. The real ending's this. And it just turns into a massive grind. It's like they call it technically the end game. And you're supposed to do 10 sieges, I believe. Oof. Now, I remember I was going to do my first one. I spent hours getting good at decent enough orcs and building them up through my army. Not buying any loot boxes or anything like that. I did one siege, most of my orcs died, and I lost the siege, so I basically would have to build an army up all over again, and at that point, I noped out, and I was done with Middle-Earth Shadow of War, whereas other people maybe would have forked out the wallet to get those loot boxes. Ooh. So, it's funny too, Monolith Games, the developers, a year or so later, actually patched out all the grind and closed down the online store in the game, basically admitting that they added that extra grind in there in order for to sort of get people to funnel people into buying loot boxes.
Well, absolutely.
Now, I actually platinumed Middle-Earth Shadow of War earlier this year. Mm. So I have now actually finished it, and they did cut out those sieges. You only have to do three of them now. And I got them done basically immediately. And it's unfortunate because it's not too bad a game. Like, it's probably a solid, like, 8 out of 10 now that they've patched it and fixed it up a bit. But they completely fucked it by being greedy. And look, I don't blame Monolith as the developers because they are owned by Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers are the publishers, and they're renowned microtransaction fucking hogs. They're awful. They try to pump their games with as many microtransactions, special editions, Ubisoft shit, that kind of stuff. Lockie, do you have any experience with Shadow of Wardor, Mordor, Ward...
Hodor. Hodor.
Hodor.
Hold the door. yeah. Actually, I do with this game. It's funny, and I love your experience of it, because my experience was the exact opposite because I didn't have the microtransactions in it. So I played the patched out version, and I thought it was a whole ton of fun. I mean, it wasn't a huge change to the original game, but it looked a hell of a lot nicer. I loved the Nemesis interactions. Some of them were funny as hell. I mean, if you YouTube some of this shit, Nemesis, the one where you keep breaking their spirit and morale and also their mind, and by the end they're just this babbling wreck, which is pretty much like what I am now. So it's a fun foretelling, foreboding moment.
This episode your Joker moment?
Yeah, all it takes is one bad day.
Day.
Anthony, do you have any memories you wish to delete of Middle Earth Shadow of War?
I do not have any memories of this game stealing my money through loot boxes. I do remember when I was playing Overwatch a lot, and I spent too much money on loot boxes. I don't know if I'll tell you how much, but it's more than I should have. That's all I'm going to say. It was not good. Shit. It was not good. And I spent money when they had the really bad loot box system. Like, not the one they have. Like, even now, it's not great. But it's better where it's like, you don't get repeats. I was spending money when you got repeats. So you'd spend, whatever, like $50. It's like, I just saw the same legendary skin 5 times. Worth every penny.
But you can trade in the repeats for other skins,
but it's
Anthony.
Like,
more loot boxes.
Yeah.
Dota did that shit, and I still paid for all the crap.
So awful. There's only one game that's had like a semi-decent loot box system, and I reckon it's because they saw how other loot boxes were going, and they said, let's not do that, because that's a bad idea, is Injustice 2 of all games, where loot boxes, I think you can buy them, but you actually get a shit ton just from playing the game. Yeah. So it's more incentivized for you to just play the game a bunch. It's like, hey, here's cosmetics. It's like, cool, thank you, game. Mm. And the
base game as well, too, if you just play Injustice 2, you can play through that whole story and it's no issue whatsoever. It was only if you engaged with the, like, there was some special online conquest mode where you, like, move up some tree or something.
Yeah, you had they weren't called towers. I think they were called multiverse or, like, something. Whatever it was called for that game, where it's like, hey, you want to earn the Joker's unique outfit, play through this Joker thing. And like I said, you couldn't, as far as I'm aware, someone may correct me, as far as I'm aware, you couldn't pay your way around that. The only way to do it was to, like, play that mode and get and actually put in the time and effort to get it, which makes sense. That's what you want to do. But it wasn't, as we mentioned, it wasn't Battlefront where it's like, hey, if you want to unlock Darth Vader, put in the fucking time, mate, because you'll be here for a while.
Yeah.
What was it, like 40 hours or something to, like, unlock Vader in that?
Look, I could still feel where they were trying to funnel you into it, like, because I tried the online stuff, and I remember it didn't take long before I hit up against a bit of a wall, and I was like, oh, well, I could just keep grinding out, just getting the flash to verse random enemies, or I could just pay a little bit of money to Warner Brothers, once again, this is a Warner Brothers game, and get the loot box that way. So yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm never a fan of it. That's for sure.
Oh, no, God. I'm glad it's mostly a practice the industry has moved past.
Yeah, unless you're playing mobile games like Diablo Immortal. Hey! Oh, God. So many terrible games have got a shout-out this episode. And can I say, what a fun idea. This is your idea, Anthony, to do this games that grind our gears. You came up with the idea of doing this episode, and you came up with the title as well, too. You're the host, really, this episode.
This is my podcast now. This was secretly my plan. I've been hosting so many episodes. Eventually, I'll just become the host, and no one will notice.
There you go. You got the glasses. You got the facial hair. You're well on your way. You're nearly there. Now, seeing as you're the host of the show, do you want to plug the other show that you host?
Yeah. So once again, check me and Jaden out. Jaden and I out. Sorry, bad grammar. Check Jaden and I out at the What Do You Think About This podcast. Again, available on Anchor, which will give you links to our Spotify, our Apple podcast, and our Twitter link in case you need to contact us for any reason. So, yeah, thanks again.
Yeah, and if you can check out me playing some of The Quarry once again, I'll be continuing my playthrough on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, twitch.tv/news2reviews. Come help me decide whether or not to kill cunts or what to do in certain situations. It's going to be fun. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm keen to do my first stream tomorrow night. Yeah, and leave us a rating and review if you can. It would be very much appreciated. Lockie, do you have any final words of wisdom for
Oh my goodness, no, I don't. Wisdom. No. Look, you know, check out Zach's stream on The Quarry. If you haven't picked up the game, it's I reckon Let's Plays would be the best way to experience it, because you know, that way you get to get through that content that you may not necessarily pay for, and I think it's a whole lot of fun to have with other people.
Oh, bloody yeah. Thank you. That is some words of wisdom, just plugging my Twitch stream. Oh, everyone out there, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another.